We begin the current daf in Sechtes Eivin, daf Yudzayin. We begin on the second line from the top of the Amud. But the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf, talking about the theme of the previous mission that spoke about the kula, the leniency regarding a shayara, a caravan. That is, although we have to have for Rosh Hashanah Yachad certain criteria to create it as a domain, but there are certain halachic leniencies to create it as if it were a wall, for example, with the halach of a shayara. That is, if there is less than 3 tefachim from one stick to another or from one trope to another, we create halachic walls, although in essence, in reality, it's not really a wall, but since it's less than 3 tefachim, through the halachic principle of love, we consider it a wall. So there was a machlekes in the Mishnah, and the Gemara elaborated with the Braisa regarding the different opinions to when are we lenient with this. Is it only with a caravan? Is it only on the road? Or is it even in the city, even with an individual? So now the Gemara continues on this opinion, specifically regarding the din of the Rabbanan, that they said that this heter of either shasi or eir, regarding if it's just vertical sticks within one or the other, with less than 3 tefachim, or horizontal rope, one again within the other, less than 3 tefachim, which again, halachically we will see it as closed, and thereby getting your halachic wall of 10 tefachim, regarding that they said, but it's only if you have atzasayim upon it. You can't, although you can have it for all the necessities that you need it for, and let's say you're out in the wild, and you're making these walls, which are very b'di'evit types of walls, it just fits the criteria halachically, it's going to be only up till 2 saws more than what you need. But if it's in excess of even more than 2 empty saws that are not being utilized, that will invalidate the entire, this halachic walls that we're creating. As the Gemara says, Amrav Gidla Amrav, he was saying a halacha. He said, Shalish b'chamesh asurin, 3 in 5 is forbidden, which basically what he meant to say was that sometimes you could have 3 people that will be forbidden even in an area of 5 sa, again regarding these halachic walls that we're making if they're within 3 tefachim of the other, but in 7 it's permitted, that sometimes it would be permitted for 3 people even in 7 sa, which is larger. So Amr Levi said to him, Amr Rav, did Rav say this? It doesn't make sense. How could it be forbidden in 5, yet mutar in a larger area of 7? It's counterintuitive. Generally, the smaller that's necessary is what's mutar. You make it bigger, it's already more than what's necessary. We didn't allow so much open empty space. So Amr Lahui said to them, Oy Raisa Nevi Uchsivi. By the Torah, the Nevim, the Ksuvim, which is a term of like a type of an oath, the Amar Rav Hachi, Rav said this halacha. As the Gemara explains, Amar Rav Asher, Rav Asher is my kasha, what's the difficulty? Why is it so hard to understand that sometimes it could even be Asher in 5, yet it could be Mutter with 7, so which is a much larger area? Dem Hachi come in, maybe this is what Rav said. If they needed the area, there was no open space. In other words, they were capacity to 6 saw, that's how much room they needed for all their stuff. And then they surrounded it with an area of 7 sa, which was this leniency of shasi without arib, or again, arib without shasi. In other words, just vertical sticks with less than 3 tefachim around them. Then even by 7 sa, it's going to be mutter, because there is not what is the invalidating factor, according to Rabbanan, of having at least base asayim of open space, because here you're only going to have 1 sa of open space, because they needed 6 and they made 7. That's what he ended off with, a statement that said sometimes even with 7 it could be mutter. However, if lo yhutzucha el chamesh, they only needed 5 sa, the kiva b'sheva, then they surrounded it with an area of 7 sa, then afilu b'chamesh asur, and that's when he said that even if 5 is going to be forbidden, and that is because since now you have more than 2 sa of open space, the mechitzas don't help at all, because since it's more than what you needed, it's totally invalid. As we said, that these halachic walls would only work, according to the Pinyar Abanan, if you're not extending it more than 2 saw of empty space than what's necessary. So here you only needed 5, you made it 7, so it's more than basis sign more, so then it's not even good, even in 5. And that's the understanding of what he said, although it sounded contradictory, but now we resolved it, it depends how much they need to see if it's going to be extra or not. But on that, the Gemara asks, we learned that Rabbanan said, and this is obviously the term that we're discussing over here, that as long as they don't have 2 base asayim of open space, that will be the factor that will invalidate it if you have that much extra. So the Gemara asked, my love, panim, wasn't it talking about that it was in excess of the people? And that is, for example, let's say they have 3 people there, and they surrounded the 3 people who they qualify as a caravan, but the idea is that they surrounded them with 8 sov area, that when you give each person base asayim, you're still going to be left with an extra base asayim of open space without any person to qualify it as why you're allotting this area. But when there's only 7 sov, that then if you give 2 base asayim for each person, you're only left with 1 extra sov without a person, and therefore it should be mutter. So what are you saying? That's the explanation of when Rav says us, or when you only needed 5. and you made seven, it doesn't make a difference. We said that you can't have base asayim of panoi, which the way the Gemara is assuming now means panoi of a person, that each person gets up to base asayim. So when there's one less person, in other words, you're giving an extra base sof for no person that's around, that's when it's invalid. So therefore, if we're talking about a case of three people, and there's seven sof, three times two is six. That's six sof that's accounted for. There's only one unaccounted for. That shouldn't invalidate it. Another Gemara says, no, loy. Panu mikalim. When we said that you can't have at least base of open space that's unaccounted for, and if you do have that extra space, it will invalidate the entire area, that meant from vessels. In other words, that when there are these walls that have a base assignment of open space that's not being utilized that they don't need, even if there's three people, let's say they only need one a base assignment, and they surround it with four saw, that also will invalidate the mechitzas. Because the idea is not because that each person qualifies for two saw, rather, however much space they need, however much stuff that they have. If after that amount that you fill up, you have extra base saw sign, then that will go ahead and invalidate it. And therefore, when you have these three people and they fit into five, seven is already going to invalidate because that's base sign of open space. And that's, again, the resolution of a statement that it could be with five it will be puzzle and seven will be good, depending on how much they need, if it's going to be an extra base sign of open space. So on this topic, the Gemara continues, Idma, we learned. Shloisha, when there's three people, which again qualifies for the status of a shayara, one or two people, will they qualify as individuals. When there's three people, that's already the application of the halachic leniencies of a caravan. Umeis echeman, but one of the three people died on Shabbos, or similarly in reverse. Let's say there was shnaim, there were only two people before Shabbos. But then on Shabbos, another person joined them. And then we have machlokes Rav Huna and Rav Yitzchak. Now, on the one hand, at least according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, there's a difference in halacha between the caravan, which is three people, and less than three, which would be individuals, that they don't have this leniency of having just a wall made out of sticks, which are shasi, or ropes, which are horizontal, which are arev, within three tefachma of one or the other. Therefore, it makes a difference if you're a shayara or not. Now, here on the one hand, you were a shayara before Shabbos, and you lost it on Shabbos, or in reverse, you weren't before, and then you became on Shabbos. We have a machlokes. Chad Amar Shabbos Kremis. One of these Amiram says that Shabbos is the defining factor. And therefore, let's say you had three before Shabbos. One of them dies on Shabbos. Since Shabbos is the causation that decides the halachic ramification and the criteria, that will cause it to be permitted, and therefore it's going to be permitted even two people on Shabbos, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says you only do it by Shayara, because when Shabbos started, there were three people. And similarly in reverse. If there were two people before Shabbos, and you surrounded it with an area more than base asayim, which according to Rabbi Yehuda, for one or two people, only base asayim works, not more than that. Now, even though on Shabbos you get another person comes, it's still going to be us according to Rabbi Yehuda, since when Shabbos started, it caused it to be us, because again, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you have to have only shayara, which three people will cause it to be mutter. When Shabbos started, you didn't have that, so it's not going to be mutter. The Charam de Yurin Gurman. The other opinion holds that no, the actual dwellers are the ones that cause it. In other words, if there were three people and one of them dies on Shabbos, where now you're lacking the three to be the requisite for the shayar, then it would be aser. Whereas if you surrounded it from before Shabbos for two people more than basis time, and then on Shabbos another person comes, it would be mutter because ultimately you have the diurin, you have the dwellers, and therefore even though it happened on Shabbos, it doesn't make a difference. It's about the people. You have a caravan. Oh, great. Now we can use the heter of what we made before Shabbos, which was not correct. So the Gemara says, "Tistayim Rav Huna Huda Amar Shabbos Kremes." We could prove that we didn't know between this machlokes Rav Huna and Rav Yitzchak who said what. We could prove that Rav Huna was the one that said that Shabbos is the cause. The Amar Rabbah, as Rabbah said, "Boyim Rav Huna had asked the question of Rav Huna, who he's one of the individuals that we're discussing. Boyim Rav Huna asked the same question of Rav Yehuda, and that is this was in regards to two courtyards which had an entryway, a Pesach between the two of them. So the halacha was, he asked, Erev Derech HaPesach. Let's say that you made an Erev through the doorway, v'nistam ha-pesach, and then the doorway got closed on Shabbos. Or for example, derech ha-chloin. You made the joint combination that would be the joining part of them between these two courtyards or houses through the window, v'nistam ha-chloin, and then the window got closed. In other words, their Erev was based on the fact that we're connected through the doorway. And now on Shabbos, the doorway got closed. For example, if let's say the wall crumbled and now it closed the doorway. So the shaila he asked Rav Huna was, Mahu, what's the halacha? Do we say that it's permitted to carry between the two properties through the other windows in the entryways which are less than four tefachim, which on their own merit are not row to make an erev out of them, as the Gemara says later on, Daf Ayin Vav and Perek HaChalayin? Or do you say that no? Since the actual entryway, which was the portal to permit between the two areas is now closed. So therefore, now that it's closed, you don't see them joined anymore, and therefore you can't carry through the other openings because they're considered separate rishuyas, which require an erev, which you don't have that erev anymore because the way they were joined was through the opening that's closed. V'amalei and Ravuna told me, Shabbos, regarding Shabbos, hoyel v'hutra hutra. Once it was permitted, it's permitted. And this time, the Gemara says, that's approved. Rav Huna was of the opinion that Shabbos was Geremes. Shabbos caused it. When Shabbos started, we saw it as joined. So now that the door closed on Shabbos, so to speak, because it crumbled, that doesn't make a difference. That's similar to what we were saying regarding when you have three people before Shabbos and one of them dies, doesn't make a difference. When Shabbos started, it was a permitted area. It stays permitted even after you lose the qualifying variables. So on that, the Gemara says, Lema Rav Huna Rav Yitzchak, let's say that this machlegis we just mentioned is beplukta the base of Rav Yehuda community, that they're arguing of what Tanoim already argue on the same principle. Tanan, as we learned in the Mishnah later on, the Mishnah says, Chatzah Shenivitzah, regarding a courtyard that was broken on Shabbos, Mishtei Ruchesef, from both sides. And the Gemara there in Perikol Gagos, and the Tzadi Dala and Mabez will explain why it is picked specifically a case where the walls on both sides broke. So similarly, not only by a courtyard, b'chein bayis shenifritz mishtei ruchayisam, and similarly a house that broke on both sides, b'chein mavoy and a courtyard, shenitlu kareisav olachayiv, or regarding a courtyard where there it lost its crossbeam or the side post on Shabbos. So then regarding all these different areas where they lost their permitting criteria, which is that it has to have a lechi or a kairo or the walls, mutarin la'isa Shabbos. It's permitted to use that area on Shabbos because we say what's called hoyel v'hutra hutra. Since it was permitted when Shabbos started, it stays permitted, even though it lost it. But vasurin lasa lavi. But obviously, it's going to be forbidden in the future because it doesn't have their permitting criteria anymore of having the lechi occur with the walls. Did Rabbi Yehuda's opinion? Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says no. If it's permitted for that Shabbos, then mutar and las lav, it should be permitted forever. If it's masur and las lav, it's forbidden forever because it lost its qualifying heterim. Asur and las Shabbos can be forbidden for that Shabbos also. As the Gemara over there in Perikol Gagos explains what Rabbi Yossi's intent was, he was trying to say that it's usur. And what he was saying was, it's just like it's forbidden for the future, because obviously if it has breaches in the walls and it loses lechi or kari, it's not good. So it's usur for that Shabbos. So obviously, according to his opinion, you don't say hoyel v'hutra hutra like Rabbi Yitzchak. And there, where the Gemara wants to say, Lem Rav Huna da Amar Kreb Yehuda, Rabbi Yitzchak da Amar Kreb Yehuda. It sounds like they're arguing mamash on the same idea. Do you say that Shabbos Geremes, if it started off good before Shabbos, we don't care if it loses its permitting dimensions or people or variables, whatever it is on Shabbos? Or do we say that no, whatever it is on Shabbos, if it's good now, it's good, whether it was like that in the beginning of Shabbos or not, both for Heter or for Isser? And the Gemara says no. You could say either way that one Amar could hold like both tonight. Amalacha Rav Huna. Rav Huna would tell you, although he says in our Gemara that Shabbos is Gerem, that it causes it, he says, Another Amr Afil Rabbi Yosi. I could even say like Rabbi Yosi, who says it's forbidden, even though Shabbos already caused it to be Mutter. Why is that? Because Ad Kan Lakom Rabbi Yosi Hasam, until now, we only have Rabbi Yosi saying his Aloch over there that it was Aser. El Dlesna Lamechitz is because you don't have the actual walls anymore. That's really bad. That's not like what I was talking about regarding the people, where you don't have the people anymore, but you still have the walls that we made before Shabbos. Hacha Isnu Lamechitz, here in my case, you have the actual walls. And therefore, only over there where it was actually missing the walls would you say that it's Aser. But regarding my case, he would agree that where you're just missing the people of the Shayara, that of course it would still maintain and retain its halachic status of walls that were created from before Shabbos. And same thing in reverse, Reb Yitzchak, who he says that the people actually are what causes, it's not the beginning of Shabbos that causes it, says, I'm not the army, I feel Reb Yehuda, I could say even like Reb Yehuda, who he said it's permitted, that even though it's actually missing the walls, he says it doesn't make a difference. Lechi, kaira, walls are broken, doesn't make a difference. Bishtarov, before Shabbos is good, it'll retain its goodness, its hefty throughout Shabbos. Because at kan lakam Reb Yehuda hasam, we only know over there, Reb Yehuda over there said that it's going to be good. Because you still have the people, and the people are the defining factor. Although you don't have walls, which seem to be a bigger thing, he says, by me, the main idea are the people. Here, my case that I was talking about, the people are not here anymore. And therefore, although you have the walls and you have everything, that's not the idea. The walls are okay. And that's what Rabbi Yehuda holds. What I'm talking about is the people. If you have only two people now in Shabbos, now for them, the walls are not walls anymore. In other words, it's much worse in a sense than when you have breaches in the walls or whatnot, because it's the people that are kaveya, not the walls, and therefore, since the people are not here, we can't view it as this heter. It's almost like a lamafrei that we say that it's not what it was, what it was created to be walls, and therefore, it's not going to be good. And both Amorim could say that both Tanoim agree to their opinion. Now the Gemara resumes discussing our Mishnah, that our Mishnah concluded V'chachom and the chachom, who they argue on Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Yehuda, they say, Echad Mishnei Devar. You could have one of two things. You don't need Shasi V'arv, as Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Yehuda said. You could have either vertical, which are these poles with the three tefachim of each other enclosing this area, or you could have Arev, which are these horizontal ropes around the area, again, less than a gap of three tefachim, either in height or in the area. Either way, it's going to be good. You don't have to have both, like Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Yehuda said. But the Gemara asks, Hainu Tanakama. The Rabbanan Basroi, the last Rabbanan, are essentially the same as the Tanakama. In other words, there's really four opinions, as we're going to conclude the Gemara, in this case of this heter of Shasi or Arv, by having only vertical or horizontal lines. And it seems that the first opinion of the Mishnah, which is Tanakama, who he said that Loidibra b'sheyarel b'hoiba, that he said that this heter that we said, that either Shasi or Arv, that we said it regarding the caravan, he said, really, it's not only by caravan. We just said by caravan because that's the more common case, which means that it's mutter even by an individual. So therefore, the Rabbanan Basroi who argue on Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda is the same as the Tanakama who argues on Rabbi Yehuda, which is Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda's father, that they're both saying the same thing. They're both saying that even for an individual, not just by shiur, by caravan, will you say this heter of that you only need shasi or erev, you don't need both. So what's the difference between them? Why are there four opinions in that Mishnah? And that the Gemara says, Iki b'nayu yochid b'yishub. The difference between them are that although they both permit an individual, the difference is will be permitted even for an individual, even in an inhabited area in the city, not only out on the road. And that is the Tanakhama that said that his words were, Lo yidibru b'shayara ele b'hebu. We didn't speak about by a caravan, only because that's the more common case. But really, in the sense, even individual is going to be mutter. However, he's obviously comparing the individual to the caravan. That is, a caravan, the heter was only set on the road, because that's the whole idea why we were leaning over there, not when they're in the inhabited area. And that is because inhabited area, they could make a proper mechitza, because they have all the tools and utensils that they need, and therefore only make on the road. However, the Rabbanan Basroi, the last opinion of Mishnah, they were going on the opinion of Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda. And that is, they were responding to him, that Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda said that it's not a mechitza, the shasi or arev doesn't work. You need to have both. It won't work not on the road and not in the city. On that, Rabban responded to him, said, no, either one of the two, either shasi or arev, is a mechitza. And they said, echad yochad ve'echad rabban, whether an individual or a public, which is exactly in the responding to the case that Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda said, which is whether on the road or in the city. Just like he said, both don't work, whether in the city or the road. So Rabban Basra, who respond to him, are saying that they both do work, which is even on the road or even in the city, which is, that's their more lenient than old opinions, even than the first opinion of the Tanakhama. So to summarize, that there are four opinions in this heter of either Shasi or Arv mentioned in our Mishnah. We have the opinion of the Tanakhama that says not only by a Shayara, by a caravan, even by an individual, but only by the Derech, as the Deek is that they were comparing it to Shayara only on the road, but an individual in the city would have to make a full-fledged wall, not with this lenient walls of these halachic walls of love, but either Shasi or Arab. Then you have the opinion of the Rabbi Yehuda, who he said it only works for a Shayara, for a caravan, it will not work for an individual, even on the road. Then we have the opinion of Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, who he said, no, you always have to have Shasi ba'arv, you always have to have both horizontal and vertical rods or string, whatever it is, to make these walls. Just having one or the other will not work. However, we had a brisa on the previous stuff, which said, but up till Beis Hasayim, it would work, even according to his opinion. And then we have the final opinion in the Mishnah, the opinion of the Rabban Basrai, who they said that not only will it work by a yachid, by individual, not just by shayara, but not only in the road, but even in the yishuv, even in the inhabited area, you'll always work because it's walls. It doesn't make a difference if it seems like a virtual wall because it really has more open space than closed. But since halachically there's an idea of lavid that we see between these poles less than three tefachim, and therefore that's all around less than three tefachim, we see it as closed, and that's why they say the most lenient opinion of even a yachid and even by a yishuv. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Again, a similar type of halacha, like it was said in the previous Mishnah, that we spoke about the heter of a shayara, of a caravan, of a large amount of people out in the open fields. The Mishnah continues with a similar type of halacha. Abar dvarim patru b'machne. There were four exemptions that we said regarding an encampment out in the road, but specifically with those that are going out to war. And these four things are, mevi'in eitzim mikol makom. They could bring wood from wherever they want, and that is, they don't have to be concerned about theft. The second one was upetur merchitzidayim, they're exempt from washing their hands when it comes time to eat a meal. Umidmai, they're exempt from taking off meiser from produce that they buy from an amaoretz, from an ignorant person, which rabbinically we require them to take off meiser because of the suffix, because of the doubt that maybe the amaoretz did not take off meiser. umla'arv, and for making a rubi chatzeres, for making a joint area between two rishos yachids, that if let's say these army battalions went and surrounded their areas on Shabbos because they want to carry where they are camping out on Shabbos, and then they have one over here, and then there's a space between the two of them, there's a doorway, they don't have to go ahead and make a rubi chatzeres that you generally have to make between two rishos yachids. They're exempt from that. These are the four exemptions regarding a camp out in the wartime. So the Gemara brings a braisa. Regarding a camp that goes out to a voluntary war, a discretionary one that's and generally a mechama is a mechamas rishus from the times of the mechama of Yeshua and later on, because by Yeshua that was what's called mechamas mitzvah. He was coming to conquer Eretz Yisrael. That's a mitzvah that Hashem gave, but all other wars are mechamas rishus, are discretionary wars, they're not mitzvah. So even though it's a mechamas rishus, the braisa is mutarim begezel eitzim yibeshim, they're still permitted to. Regarding the concern, there's no concern about theft, even of dry wood, and definitely if it's moist wood, for sure there's no problem. But even dry, again, that's the exemptions that, like we said in our Mishnah, even though it's Mechamas Rishos, Mihud ben Temo Eimer, Af Chayin Mechamakim, also they could also dwell, they can settle wherever they want, or they don't have to be concerned there on someone's land. Ubimakim Shener Gusham Nikram, wherever they die, these people fighting the war, that's where they get buried, even if it's in someone's field, you take the place where they die and you bury them over there. So now the Gemara explains the Braisa. We say Mutarin Begezel Eitzim Yibeshim. They're permitted, there's no concern for them regarding the theft of dry wood. So the Gemara asks, why do you have to make a special dispensation for people fighting in the war? Hatakant the Yeshua, this was an institution that Yeshua made when they came to Eretz Yisrael, when they were splitting up Eretz Yisrael. Damamar, that the Master said, Asar Tanoim Hisna Yeshua. There were 10 conditions that Yeshua made when they were splitting up Eretz Yisrael. As the Gemara Babakam and Perek Meruba Nafpeyim and Beis explains. And a few of them were Shiyu Marin Bechirushim, that they can bring their animals out in the pasture, out in the forest. That is, everyone can take their animals and pasture out in the forest of their friends, and that the person of the owner of the forest shouldn't be particular about it, because the forest is not meant for harvesting, and therefore you shouldn't be concerned if someone's coming out there with his animals there. And another one was Umalakhtan Eitzim, so they saying that people could gather wood from other people's fields, and therefore why do you need to have to say regarding the war, people out fighting the war, that they could take wood from wherever. Anyone could do that. It's one of the 10 things that Yeshua instituted, that you could take wood from a person's field. And that the Gemara brings three differences that are only by people out fighting a war versus the takan that Yeshua made for regular people to take wood from their other people's houses. So the Gemara says, first of all, Hasam over there by the takan of Yeshua was Toma Behizme Behigi. These are the small little insignificant type of bushes. Hacha B'Shar Eitzim, here we give a heter only for warriors, for people fighting in the army, that was told about even other type of wood, which is only mutter for them. A second difference, inami, hasam b'muchabar. There, when we gave a permission for regular people to take from other people's fields, talking about when they're attached, where the person didn't go through the exertion and the effort. Hacha b'tlushin. Here, we allowed the people fighting, the officers in the army, even to take it if it was already detached from the ground. And even though the owners already went through the effort and took it off to go ahead and use his firewood, which for other people would be considered gasol, that's still permitted for the Anshei Machna, for them, for the people fighting the war, it's permitted. And inami, the third difference is Hasam Balachan. This that we permitted for regular people was when it's moist wood, that's not great quality wood, that we're not concerned about. That's where Yeshua said that people are not makri one the other. Hacha B'Yavashim, here we're talking about even dry wood, which people are, that's a precious commodity for users. Firewood, even that is something that we permitted, that we'd not make it usher for the people fighting in a war. The Gemara continues discussing the Braisa. The Braisa to Behudim and Tema Omer, they also can encamp wherever they want to. And wherever they die, that's where they bury them. Now the Gemara asks, Pshita, what it means, obvious, of course, it's not just for people fighting the war. Meis mitzvahu, he's a what's called a mitzvah type of a corpse. That is because he's dying out in the war, he doesn't have people available to him. Umeis mitzvah, we know that a meis mitzvah, a person that just dies out with no one else out to help him, he gets buried in the place where he died. And that's also one of the 10 conditions that Yeshua made when they split up Eretz Yisrael. So why do we have to say just for people fighting in the war? And the Gemara says, Lo yitzricha. Afagav, that it's, we're talking about even in the case, when we continue on to Amud Beis, the Islay Karvin, that he has people to bury him. That is, he has Yersh, he has inheritors, and therefore he's not a Mes Mitzvah. Even there, if he was fighting in the war and he died, that's where you bury him. The Tanya, as we learned in the Braisa, a Zehu Mes Mitzvah, what's considered a Mitzvah corpse? Kol Shein LeKarvin, whoever doesn't have people to bury him. However, if Kairiv Acherim Oinois, if he would call out and others would answer him, they would come to help him, to bury him. Ein Zeh Mes Mitzvah, that's not considered a Mes Mitzvah. And therefore, that's the dispensation we have to make for the warriors, that they get buried even if they're not Meis Mitzvah. But now the Gemara asks, on this assumption that we said on Amud Aleph, Well, meis mitzvah kanam akami. Is it really true that a meis mitzvah dies and he acquires his place? As we said, that's one of the 10 things that Yeshua is masakin. But by the time we learn the Braisa, it seems to contradict this. It says in the Braisa, ha-mitzi meis mutl basarati. If a person finds a corpse, a dead person, lying on the road, that's a road that people normally use, like a highway. Mifaneu le-yamin asarati, oy le-simal asarati. Then you move him off the road, either to the right of the road or the left of the road. If sadeh bur v'sadeh nir, if let's say one side of the road was a field that was unplowed, and the other was a field that was plowed, so mifaneu le-sadeh bur, so you move him to the side that has the unplowed part, because you want to make as least of a loss for the person that has the field as possible, so you don't take it to the plowed area, you take it to the other side. Sadeh nir v'sadeh zera, let's say you have a plowed field and a sown field, so then mifaneu le-sadeh nir, then you move it to a plowed field, because that's less of a destruction of property than when it's already sown. But however, hoyishtein nearest, if both of them were plowed, or shtein zruis, or both of them were sown, or shtein burs, if both of them were fields that were unplowed, either way, then they're both equal. Mifanei l'chal ruch shiyutz, and then you can move them whichever side you want. So therefore, the question is that if you would think, as we said, we assumed on the Madalf, that a person that dies acquires his place, just a dead body, a corpse, a meis mitzvah, so how could you take him from the road, as we said, either to the right or to the left of the road? You have to leave him. You have to bury them right there on the road. That the Gemara says, Amar Bibi, Hacha, here in the Brice that we're talking about, that he's not Kalein Mekaimai, is Bemeis Mutal Al Meitzar Askin. We're talking about a corpse lying on the boundaries, and that is, he's lying on the width of the road, from one boundary of the road to the other, he's covering the entire road. And therefore, since we permitted at least to move him from the boundary, and that is because of the Kahanim and those people that have Tahiris, that they shouldn't go ahead and step over him because there's nowhere to go. He's covering the entire road. So we definitely can move him a little bit. Once we allow him to move him a little bit, you can move him wherever you want to take him totally over to the road and take him to the right or to the left side of the road. But you're right, if he's not covering the entire road, then the Meis Mitzah acquires his place. You bear him wherever he is. But again, that's only a Meis Mitzah, a special dispensation. But the warriors, the people fighting the army, were saying that even if he's not a Meis Mitzah, he still acquires his place. That was just for the people of the Machna. Now the Gemara continues discussing on Mishnah that we said the heterim of those that are in the Machna fighting in the war. So the second heter was ubeturim rechitzas yadayim, that they're exempt from washing their hands when they're coming to eat a meal. So Amar Abaya loishana elamayim rishonim. This heter was only the first waters, that is when we wash until it's done before we eat. But the last waters after the meal, that's obligatory, that they have to do even if they're fighting out in the war. So Amar Abchir Barashi. Why did we say, and that's why we said even people fighting in the war, that it's obligatory more than Mayim Rishonim, which is only Rishus, to the extent that we're exempt if you're fighting in the war? It says, there's this Sedoimus salt which blinds the eyes. And that is, the Gemara says in Masechtas Brachas on Daf Mem, that after everything you eat, you should eat a little salt. So because of that salt that he dips his finger in it, because we said you should eat a little bit of salt, whatever you eat, so for that you have to wash Mayim Achrayim, because since you have that little salt, you might rub your eye, and then that could blind the person. Therefore, that's where the institution, that it's a chayv, it's very dangerous, you have to wash, even if you're fighting in the war, Mayim Achrayim. To which Tosis comments that now some people, they're not nagrid Mayim Achrayim, he says, because it's not found between us this Sedaim salt, so you don't have that concern. And also Tosis says, our custom is not to go ahead and dip our fingers into it in salt after we eat. Although the Gemara says that, we don't do it like that. Therefore, Tosfos says, people are not noyig to wash Mayim Achrayim. However, one should check Aruch Chaim and Shulchan Aruch that says that a person should be machmer on Mayim Achrayim. So the Gemara says, Abaye comments, he says, "Umishtache kakur tebekur," that this Sedaim salt is found one little grain in 30 saw of regular salt, that is in a kura of melach, of salt, there's so little, it's such a minute amount from that salt of melach sedaimis, like a small little kurt, a small little grain, in such a large amount. But it's still there, and therefore you have to be careful about it and wash my machinim. So Amalei Rav Acha b'Rei d'Rav Rav Ashi, he asked him, Kayim Melchamai, he asked him, what's the halacha if I wasn't eating a meal? They're just measuring it out for a purpose, let's say he was measuring out salt for the donkey drivers, to give them and to send on a package. Do you have to wash your hands there also or not? On the one hand, you should have to wash it because you have this salt. On the other hand, we only institute it, seems like, by a meal. So Amalei Holami Boy says, that's not a question. Of course you have to wash your hands. It's the same concern. It's not only by a meal. It's just that is where people always go ahead and dip it in, so therefore you always have to do that. But if you know you went and handled salt, let's say you're busy with packages, with deliveries, of course you have to go ahead and wash your hand because you might put in your eye and it might be blinding. So now the third heter, the third exemption of the four that we said regarding those fighting in the war was umidmai, and from Demai Vetvir, the people fighting the war are part of them that, as the Gemara explains, it's not as we learn in the Mishnah. Machilin esaniyim demai. The Mishnah of Demai says that you can feed poor people demai, ve'esachsenoi demai, and you can feed the guests, which the achsenoi is a reference to the people fighting for a Jewish king to fight the enemy, and these are Jewish people. You can feed them demai. Now, demai is suffic. There's a doubt maybe from this ignorant person. Maybe he took of meiser. Maybe he didn't take of meiser. However, the majority of amaratzim, of ignorant people, they do take of meiser. However, it's just a stringency of the Rabbanon. Therefore, since regarding these people, which a poor person doesn't have what to eat, and someone fighting the army is also under extreme situation, for them we didn't have those stringencies, and therefore they're allowed to eat demai without taking of meiser. However, the Gemara does say that Amar Rav Huna, Tana, we learned in the Braisa, Beishame Oimrim, Beishame say, Eimachilin esanim demai, Besachsenor demai. Beishame says you're not allowed to give a poor person or a soldier fighting in the Jewish army demai. Doesn't make a difference. It's us, and therefore why should we be letting for them? As we said in our Mishnah, which in the Mishnah Demai, that one could give a poor person and a Jewish soldier Demai. And Tosis comments, he says, we don't ask over here as we ask many places. What do you mean? Are we going to explain the opinion of Bishamah? Why are we quoting this? What does it help us? We already said the opinion of Bishamah. We know that Bishamah, B'makom Bishamah is Lav Mishnah. The Chiddush over here is that if you find a Tana anywhere else that says you don't give the Ani or the Achsanoi, the Jewish soldier, to eat Demai, don't be concerned about it because that is obviously the opinion of Bishamah, who he holds like that, and Bishamah's opinion is not relevant in regards to the opinion of Beis Hillel. The last item that we said that's a leniency, that are they exempt, the soldiers, are Mela Arav, they don't have to make a Rubi Chatzeres. So the Gemara explains, Amr Debe Yerbiyanai, Leishonah Elu Rubi Chatzeres. We only said this dispensation only regarding the joining of the courtyards of a Rubi Chatzeres. But regarding to make an Erev of the going past the 2,000 Amos of your Tchum, that obviously they're obviously responsible to make Erev Tchumen, because if not, they're going to be Iver and they're not potter from it. The Tanya Rebchi, as Rebchi learned, that one gets lashes for transgressing going past the Tchum Min HaTayra if he doesn't make Erev Tchumen. And therefore, as it says in the Pasuk, Al Yetzi Ish Mekam, a person should not leave his place. And from here we learn that Tchumen in Perek Mishrei Tzu on Daf Nun Aleph later on in this Masechta. And therefore, since it's Deraisa, at least a Deraisa source, we didn't make a Heter for these soldiers not to have to keep a Rubat Tchumen. And that the Gemara asks, Masik Lo Rabbi Yonasan, Tchiloikin Alav Shaba'al, do we actually, you said that we even give Malkus for this Tchumen. Do you give Malkus for something that has the word Al, as the Pasuk says, Al Yetzeish Mekayim, a person should not go out of his place? It would seem that we only say when it's Loi, a word of Loi Sertzach, but not Al. And that the Gemara says, what do you mean? Maskev Rav Acha Bayakov, he responds to that question. This that it says in the Pasuk of Yikra, Al Tifnu Elo Oivis Vel Yedainim, don't turn to the Yavis and the Yedainim, which are these sorceries, these witchcraft, these things that are forbidden. You think there you're not going to get Malkus? Everyone agrees that you get Malkus. That's something that's forbidden in the Torah. And there it says in the word Al. So rather, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yonasan and Hochi Kashle. What his question was as follows. Lav shenitin lasharz mizid bezdin. This is a negative prohibition that's given over to the possibility of being warned for death in bezdin. And that is because the Gemara thinks now that when it says Al Yetzi Ishmim Kaimer, it could also be read Al Yoitzi. A person should not carry out from his place, which is from where we learn now to Isra of Haitzah, which is one of the Lamates Malachas, to carry out from one domain to another domain. Now that's an Av Malach, and that you get Mises Bezdin for. And therefore, since this Pasuk is a source also for Mises Bezdin, as the Gemara says, V'chalav shenitin la'asar is Mises Bezdin, that any lav, negative prohibition, that could be warned that you're going to get a death in Bezdin for, that you shouldn't do this, and if you do, you're going to get Mises Bezdin, then ain't like in the lav, you don't get Malchus on it, even if they didn't warn that person for Misa, and they only warned them for lashes for Malchus, because even though now he's not going to get killed, in spite of that he doesn't get Malchus, because it could be warned for Misa, and therefore it's not viable for Malchus, even when you would warn for Malchus. So the question is, how could you say that you get Malchus when you go out of the Tchum from the Pasuk Al Yetzi Yishmim Koimoy? But that same Pasuk of not to leave your place could also be read Al Yoitzi, a person should not carry out. And therefore, that includes also Malch of Haitzah. So this Pasuk could be warned for a person, even for somebody that gets Mrs. Besson. If you can warn for Mrs. Besson, then you can't give Malchus, even when you warn for Malchus. How could you say you get Malchus on Tchumen? And that's the Gemara answer. Maravashi, Miks of Al Yoitzi? It's not like you assume. Does it say in the Pasuk that you shouldn't carry out, which would include Haitzah? Al Yoitzi Iksib, it says, don't go out. And therefore, there is no term over here regarding carrying out a package. It only is a reference to Tchumen. And therefore, it's only a lav, and it has nothing regarding Mises Bezdin, so therefore, it's not Nitin Lasar's Mises Bezdin. It's only given over to a lav. And that's why you could get Malkus for being over the Isser of Tchumen. And again, that's why we didn't give that dispensation for the soldiers. We only give a dispensation of Eruv Chatzeres. Hadnu lach Mavoy Shehu Gavoya. We shall return to you the first Perek of Maseches Eivrin, Perek Mavoy. Now we begin the second Perek of Maseches Eivrin, begins Perek Oisin Pasin. And this is, as the Mishnah begins, Oisin Pasin Lebirois. We're allowed to make boards for wells. And that is, the wells were in Rishus Rav in the public domain. And however, the wells themselves were Rishus HaYachid because they were 10 tefachim deep, these wells. Now, you can't fill up from that well and bring it out into Rishus HaRabim, because that's carrying from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim. And those who were coming up, the Oile Regalim, making the pilgrimage, they had to give water to their animals on Shabbos. So what did they do? So Chazal permitted them to make boards which would surround the area of the well. And since you're surrounding it, that would make it into halachic area of Rishus HaYachid. And therefore, you'd be able to go ahead and take out water from the bar, which is all one big Rishus HaYachid, and you bring your animal there to drink. So how do you do this? How do you make these boards for the wells? So there's certain leniencies that the Chazal instituted, although generally we weren't as lenient regarding other mechitzas. For these pasi birois, for the boards of the wells, they made a certain leniencies, which, as the Mishnah explains, arba diyum, you make four double posts. That is, posts that seem like two. That's the term diyumdin, which a diyu is two, and amudin is poles. So you have these two poles that seem like two. How is that? That they're made like an L shape, which is like, as Rashi says, like a type of a pipe, which is, if you have this V, and this way, it's like the water can go through it. When you stick this V shape, this L shape, on the corner, you stick it into the ground, on, let's say, on the southwestern tip. Now, one part is facing to the west, the other part is facing to the south. Similarly, if you make one on the corner of the northwest, so then you're going to have one part facing the west and one part facing the north. And similarly, if you do this on all the four corners, it comes out that every side is going to have two amas of a wall, one ama on one side, one ama on the other side, and you're going to have space in between. Again, you have an L shape here, an L shape here, almost like a picture frame. Some picture frame have that. You have these L shapes, and then you have the pit in the middle. It's one big Rishus HaYachid because that's halachically enclosed. You have an ama here, and the amma here, and the amma here, and the amma here. And each side is having two ammas, one amma on each side. Nirin Kishmayin, the Mishnah says, so it's really four double posts, which seem like eight, again, because each double post is really having like two different walls, one amma here, 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 one amma here. So that seems like eight. It's four, that's eight. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Remei Mishmayin, he says, you make eight walls, that Nirin Kishmayin also, that seem like 12, as he explains, Arvadium, then you have to make the four double posts, as we said. Va'abob Shutin, and four regular types of walls. And that is, you make those in the middle. That is, for every side, you're going to have a wall the thickness of an amma. The Gemara is going to explain what type of pit is Remeya talking about, that he needs not only the four double posts, but even four straight walls in the middle of each side, north, west, east, south, and west. Because Remeya agrees that you could have up to 10 ammas of a space between the walls, as the Mishnah later on will explain. So the Gemara will explain exactly what he means to say that you have to have eight. However, the Mishnah qualifies, says that these diyumdin, these double posts, these walls, gleivan asar tvachim, the height has to be 10 tvachim, v'reich van shisha, and the width has to be 6 tvachim. As we said, you have on each side 6 tvachim, which is an amma here and an amma here, that comes out that each side has two ammas of wall. And the Mishnah continues, v'ayvim kosher, the thickness of the wall could be even a minute amount. It doesn't have to be any type of thickness. Ubeinayim kemaloi shtei revakas. And between these corners, you have a corner here, so in each one, the space between them is a machlokes in our Mishnah. Remeir says it has to be kemaloi shtei revakas, the amount of what would be two teams of cattle, shalshalish shalish boker, which each team being three animals, three cattle, and that's essentially 10 amas, as the Gemara will explain how that is. But of course, if it's less than 10 amas, then definitely that would be okay. But it's just saying that up to 10 amas is the amount of space you could have between these diyumdin. Divrei Meir, that's the opinion of Rebbe Meir. Behuda Imer Shal Arba, we're talking about that each team had four cattle, which would amount, as the Gemara explains, to 13 and a third amas. However, the Mishnah qualifies, for whichever opinion it is, it has to be kashurais. That's a stringency, that the teams have to be tied together, which would diminish the space between them. V'loy mutaris, and not untied, which the Gemara will ask, what do you mean, that's the same thing as tied, not being untied is the same as tied. However, the Mishnah continues, says, Achas, achas nechneses of achas yetzes. We're talking about the amount of space you would need with one team coming into the area and one of them leaving, which that's a leniency, that you don't need exact specific 10 amas, rather a little bit looser, because although it's going to be 10 amas with the animals, but when they're going the same way, that's that you don't need as much space as when one going one way and one going the other way. It's a little bit more than exactly 10 amas. Now the Mishnah continues with the opposite type of extreme. I'm about to tell you, we're talking about how wide can the space be. Now the Mishnah says, Mutal Hakrim, you could bring the boards closer, lebe'er, to the pit, and to make the surrounding area smaller, but as long as there's going to be from the edge of the pit up until the area between the boards, that para reisha veruba bifnim b'shaisa, that you could have a cow, that this one cow that could get its head and most of its body inside and drink. But if it was less than that, if you made it very small, this space between the two boards, then not, because then maybe the animal won't be able to fit inside, and you're going to come to go after your cow, that he's in Rosh Hashanah, you're going to come to bring the pitcher out of the mechitzes, and you're going to be carrying from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. So although we say that there's a max how much, there's also a minimum how small it could be, because it has to be enough that the animal could get most of his body inside, that way you won't come to carry the pitcher outside. And also the Mishnah continues, again, to the other extreme, Mutter, that is permitted, when continuing on the top of your Chesem et Alf, Laharcha Kolshu, that you could distance it as far as you want. As far, as big as you want to have the surrounding area of these Deyumdin, you can make it as big as you want. Ubavad Shiyabi Pepasin, as long as you add on boards. And that is as big as you make it, as far from the pit, so then the space starts getting bigger area, you can have more space between these Deyumdin, these double posts. Now you're going to have to add on boards, that it shouldn't be the space from each board and between the board and these deyumdin more than 10 amas according to Reb Meir, or 13 and a third amas according to Reb Yehuda. So again, you can make it as big as you want, but the spaces cannot be larger than what we allowed you. However, Reb Yehuda argues, and he says, no, ad beis asayim, the max you can make it is up until beis asayim, which is an area of 100 by 50 amas, but not more than that. So Amar Loi, they said to him, no, Loi Amar beis asayim, we didn't say this maximum space of beis asayim, only for a different halacha, el leginu lukarfef, for a garden and the karfif, where there they weren't encased, they weren't enclosed for dwelling purposes. And that is, a karfif is a large enclosed area out of the city where they would put wood to store over there. So for gina and karfif, that's where we said that we only allow carrying up to beis asayim. More than that, since it wasn't huk of ladira, that we're not going to allow it up for that, because it's not such a highly qualified enclosed area for dwelling purposes. Avalim hoye dir. But if it was a pen of animals, which they make out in the fields, where today they close the animals in here, and the other day they enclose the animals here, because they want to fertilize all the fields with the dung of the animals, oy sahar, or is the pen of the animals, which are the one they always have in the city, oy muktzah, or if it's a yard that's in the backyard of a house, oy chatzah, or it's the front yard, a courtyard that's in front of the houses, where all these cases are that they were surrounded for dira purposes, for dwelling, where people utilize the area for their living purposes, then I feel a beis chameshes kur, and then even 5 kur, I feel a beis asar kur, and even 10 kur, mutter would be permitted to carry up to there. Beis asayim is only for an area, like you have, as we said, regarding a gina karfa, where that was not encased, that was not enclosed for dwelling purposes. However, if it's for dwelling purposes, you can have as much as you need. And therefore, they say, Umutal Harcha Kosher, you can distance as far as you want this area of the Pasibirais. Ubavachi Abipasna, as long as you add on boards, as we said, because these Pasibirais are also, the water is fit for the drinking of people, and therefore that's considered Tashmish of Dira, of dwelling purpose, and therefore that's the same fundamental principle as we say with Dir, Sar, Muktzah, Chatzar, which the Chatzar is considered a Dira, although it's not people actually living there, but it's the utility, it's a type of purposefulness that has for where people live and they utilize it for their Dira purposes. Same thing applies for these Pasibirais, where it's also for functionality of the human dwelling, which would give it a halacha of dira, and if it has since that halacha of dira, it's not like Rabbi Yehuda that you say it's only on until beis asayim. That's only for things which are not huk of a dira. This is considered huk of a dira, and then you could have it as large as you want it, again, up at least that you don't have more than a gap of either 10 amas according to Reb Meir, or 13 and a third amas according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda.